Good morning. I'm Fabio D'Andrea, and I'm from the University of Perugia in Italy. And today I'll try to share with you a few reflections about something that's on my it's been on my mind since quite a long time. That's to say that whatever I'm going to say, it's I want you to remember that's about imagination and belief. Why? Because I really think that we have to focus on other levels of communication and understanding of society to be prepared to cope with what is coming. You know? And I read what is happening in these years as a paradigm shift and something that requires us to make use of something new, or at least to make use of something that used to be part of our way of thinking but has been evacuated from our culture since, I'd say, the 17th century, more or less. I'm talking about the scientific revolution and then enlightenment and modernity. Why so? Because with that development in Western culture, a few things had to be stressed, and some other things had to be put aside, and among them, especially imagination and belief. We are now used to think that knowledge is something that's made by hard data, and by procedures, and scientific algorithms and ways of working, and I don't think so. At least, I think that's part of our way of understanding the world, but not enough. As we were seeing a few moments ago when we heard the first keynote address, there are vocabularies, there are words, there are terms, and that, from my point of view, betray some deeper attitudes and some deeper ways of understanding and behaving in the world. And I think that now it's easier to talk about things like this, because what used to be modernity certainty is now under stress. Now, we know that, thinking about Beck's, we know that global risks have eroded the risk contract. The risk contract was one of the bases on which we used to understand the world, make the world as we thought it was, and compensate for risks and damages. But we know now that the modern risks are no longer available. Global risks such as environment, migration, terrorism are no longer localizable, calculable, or compensable. And that's eroding our faith in our world. It's causing stress, it's causing uncertainty, it's having a lot of consequences, such a domino effect, I'd say. And one of these is that we are no longer trust science as the only way of coping and understanding the world. What used to be called scientific exceptionalism is a bit hard to maintain, even because we had lots of things in science that spoke against it, but we were not listening, as Einstein said. We've been in a climate of growing uncertainty since 1925 with the general relativity of Einstein, and we got to Lorentz's butterfly effect in 1963, but Einstein said everything has changed except our way of thinking. We are a bit set in our ways, and I think we need now to change a bit of these ways, because they are no longer useful and they are becoming dangerous, I'd say, for a better understanding of what's going on. I quote Beck about this, because we have to cope with this kind of new unequivocalness. That's to say, we have to leave behind this logic of unequivocalness and reach for a logic of ambiguity. A logic of ambiguity is some kind of inclusive paradigm in which more things are heuristic, more things are useful to understand the world. One of these things is imagination. But to get there, we have to take back a little further. That's to say, we've seen, and I'm being rather synthetic, we've seen that global risks put reality at risk. That's to say that we're witnessing some kind of staging of reality. Why? Because of the controversial reality of the possible, says Beck, and that's a great thing to focus on. That's to say, we are now confronting a moment in which reality is changing. Reality is becoming something different from different perspectives and point of view. So that great narrative of objectivity is no longer maintainable. And we have to understand how reality is being staged and along which lines. These are not always rational lines. These are not always objective lines. More than often, they are cultural, imaginal, emotional lines. We've heard about the construction of a climate of fear. There is nothing objective in a climate of fear. It is something that has to do with a side, with a part of humanity that's been left behind, that's been ignored for hundreds of years, and now it's back on the stage again in a way that could be dangerous, because we are no longer aware of it. We've been taught to understand us as rational beings, but we're not only rational beings. We are also imaginal beings, symbolic beings, and we need things and values to drive us on. So, this is more or less what I was planning to use as an introduction, but I'd like to use some kind of philosophy, because I think that, moreover, we should work toward an intercultural knowledge, an interdisciplinary knowledge. We have to rely on anthropology, on philosophy, on neurology, architecture, and whatever, just to try and put up some kind of complex knowledge that can cope with what is happening. And this is a German philosopher, Eugen Fink, in a wonderful book that's called Play is the Symbol of the World, that tells us that reality is a problematic concept. We used to take it for granted, but as soon as we try to understand it better, we find that it's not so obvious, that it's not so solid, that it's not so real. And the question is, what is the reality of the thing? Is it something that belongs to the thing? Or is it something that we take for granted and build like this? We talk about reality, but we don't know if it is something global or just the everything put together, everything we deem real put together or whatever. So reality and unreality are problematic concepts. And I think that global risks are showing this quite clearly. Just before, it was difficult to talk about along these lines, but now it's a bit easier because things are, I'd say, falling apart, and be a bit dramatical, but you'll forgive me. And then there is the imagined. If it's so quite obvious that real things are not so real, what about unreal things? What about all that brought us here? Because we seem to have forgotten that what is around in these ears wasn't there before. It was made real by our culture, our thought, our action. Today we stress the importance of being concrete, of being practical, of having things and hard data again. But we got here by believing in things, believing in justice, believing in research and knowledge and whatever, things that weren't there, things we had to make real just because we imagined them. And I contend that nothing is made if it's not imagined. Anything we plan, the simple idea of project has to do with imagination. Because just because it isn't there. It will be there, perhaps, if we're lucky. But now it's not there. And we have to cope with this. We can't just pretend it's not so. So, the real is there, the unreal is not there. No, there is also the intermediate term between the two. That is to say, a real that encloses the unreal in itself as a semantic content. That's to say, when I think about something that's not real, I'm doing something real. And this reality has consequences. That's the idea of the staging of reality, in a way. We believe in real ways in accordance with things that are not there, that might never be there. But all the same, we behave now, really, in some ways that we shouldn't have chosen. We are talking about a trade-off between security and freedom. We are sacrificing rights that have been pursued for centuries in the name of security. We are making lots of transactions that could be perhaps better thought about and understood before. But I say we have some kind of real problem in this, because we have been taught, and we still believe firmly in this kind of knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding that denies the importance of imagination and belief. We're treating these things as something that's childish, that belongs to previous eras. And we're not understanding that they are still at work. It's already time. Huh? Oh, well, okay. I should be there. And we're seeing things that have to do with belief. We were talking with Anne about the latest American president. And I'm coming from a country where we had something like Trump. We've had Berlusconi for 20 years, and it's all been a question of belief, nothing more. There was nothing else. We are behaving as individuals, as groups, as nations, in the name of beliefs which we don't recognize. And that's tough, because belief is always at work. This is Richard Sennett. And it tells us one thing that I think we all in the university should know. You don't play a role without believing in it. You have to put inside what you do a quantum of imagination and faith and passion, because otherwise it's something only mechanical. And mechanical things go nowhere. We have a kind of imagination that's exactly like this, mechanical. We started with Descartes, with Cartesio, and since then we've been thinking that we are machines, but we're not machines. And we should take this into account as soon as possible. And now, my last minutes, what could we do to try and change things? Well, I think that the first thing is symbolic intelligence. We have to understand, to renew our understanding of symbols. Because symbols are things that are apt to make people move, you know. Beck says this, you know, tangible simplifying symbols take on central political importance. And this could ease what is the blasé condition of which Zimmer talked about, because if we don't believe in something, we do not act accordingly. And that's why movements, political movements, are rarer and rarer. because we don't think we have the energy, we don't think we have the power, we don't think we can, because we can't imagine and we can't believe in what we do. So when we evacuated imagination and belief from our culture, we more or less made a kind of suicidal move. And I think we should try and believe to believe. It's a bit of a, you know, a strange thing to say, but we should put imagination, belief, and passion back into our work. And we should recognize that lots of things that happen in the world are moved by imagination, faith, and belief. Thank you very much.
Questions till the end, so can we have a minute to do it?